Wrestling Strip. It's the 339th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today. Very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live, again, we apologize for all the technical difficulties, but I'm glad you're here. Log into your YouTube account. That way you can chat along with us in the live chat. You can ask us questions, fact check us, talk shit, just say hi, whatever. I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show because I'll have you pulled up right here on the old handy-dandy smartphone.
Actually, I got you pulled up right here, too.
Oh, you can see it there now? Oh, that's new. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio, or just drop a comment down below and we'll see if we can get to it.
By Saturday around the afternoon, it'll be on iTunes, Stitcher, all the places for podcast stuff. So if you can't catch us live, you can catch the replay.
Indeed.
Yeah. Woo. Man, so I'm gonna just wing this by you because you
have no idea. Let's wing it, baby. We already started late. Let's do it.
Was it really Rowan?
I don't know. I don't care.
What do you think of this whole thing with Roman?
Stupid. I mean, like, I know a lot of people were joking around about this, saying that I bet you it was Rikishi. You know. Honestly, if it was Rikishi, I'd be a little bit more interested because I'd be like, oh, the fuck? No. But like, Rowan? Okay, so it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns because, I mean, I don't see Roman Reigns going up against Eric Rowan and that being a marquee match. Like, I don't give a fuck about that. If Eric Rowan did it, it was probably at the behest of Daniel Bryan. But even then, why? Why? Did he do it for The Rock? Did he do it for the people? Like, what lame-ass fucking excuse? And like, I'm totally disinterested in this.
I am morbidly interested for something completely different. Mm-hmm. Eric Bischoff looks at Roman Reigns, his supposedly top guy on a brand that half the audience boos.
Right.
Which is the hardcore audience.
Right.
And he thinks to himself, how am I going to get the hardcore audience to try and accept Roman Reigns? Weren't you a little intrigued to see Samoa Joe actually look after the well-being of Roman after he got hit by that car?
Yes.
It was odd, but I couldn't turn away.
Yeah, I was odd. I was intrigued.
Rowan and Bryan against Roman and Joe as a team? Turn Joe face to give Roman a rub, maybe?
I need to back up a little bit because I needed to color my reasoning of why I'm so meh on this.
Number one, it's Roman.
Well, no, it's not so much Roman. It's
you want to like Roman.
It's more of Rowan, Eric Rowan. It's more of that because earlier in the night, I did something that I should never do. I didn't save it for the show. I was sitting there with the girls. We were watching, and I had a hot take, and I let that hot take out right then and there instead of saving it for the show. I know. Slap me on the hand. I'm sorry.
But our listeners and viewers know that you like to empty your load pretty early.
I know. And I did all over the girls. So let me restate what I said there. Daniel Bryan is the opposite of white hot. He's black cold right now.
He's black ice.
Yeah, he is not where he was at WrestleMania 30. WrestleMania 30, everybody was clamoring for the
dude. He's not even where he was at WrestleMania 34 when he was one of the best heels in the company.
He is the most that he has ever been in his entire fucking career. When we started hearing about the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, I was like, whoa. I was always interested in the guy, and that interest could, whoa.
You even saw him live during WrestleMania 25 weekend.
Yes. And I was like, oh, God. Like, it started here, and it just kept going up. But right now, it's down here. And I it's not because I hate the guy or I don't like him. It's that I don't have any fucks to give about it.
His character
and
right now is
it's like his heel turn was pretty good. Being the Planet's champion, having the fake the WWE belt.
It wasn't fake. Well, yeah. It was made of hemp.
Excuse me. The hemp WWE belt. Then he lost it, and then he teamed up with Rowan, and we thought it was going to be, oh, that's his heavy, and that's it. But no, now they're a tag team. Okay. And then they won the tag belts. And my thought when they won the tag belts was either he's going to elevate the tag titles or
the tag titles will be beneath him.
And the tag titles want to be beneath him. He didn't elevate them. They dropped them. And this whole thought process that I had in my head of like, well, I'm going to assume positivity, which is he's going to really make something out of the tag belt. The tag division is going to be something to really marvel over. He's going to make hemp tag belts, and him and Rowan are going to fucking dominate. They're going to kill the Usos. They're going to kill the Hardys. They're going to kill the New Day. They're going to kill everybody, and they're going to fucking dominate and put the tag team championship on the same level as probably the women's championships and the men's championships right now, because let's face it, men's and women's are like right here. They're the gender gap between the men's and women's title has been the smallest it has ever been, but the gap between
and at the times singles, the women's titles are higher,
right? And the gap between the singles and the doubles, the tag is that big right now, that big. And I was kind of hoping maybe it'll close that gap, but no. And instead, it dropped D-Bry's stock.
They're teasing that Brian had an announcement, and the reason that they've held off on the announcement was because rumor had it, news with a Z, they were going to move Brian to the 205 Live division.
Okay.
Put him on 205 Live. Well, but now, with Bischoff or McMahon or somebody, it was like, nah, that might be beneath Brian. So let's put him in a high profile feud with Roman. But how do we do that? And that's how we got how we're getting now.
And
Buddy Murphy's
still
inserted into this because he got hurt and he got beat up by Roman in the locker room.
Still, that's news with the Z. I'm talking about what I saw on the telly. What I saw on the telly, I don't care about D-Bry. D-Bry doesn't have a storyline. Hasn't had a storyline up until the very end of SmackDown. And again, I said this during SmackDown. I was like, it's sad because Daniel Bryan at one point, like, okay, we all know Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. At one point, I was like, you know what? CM Punk is right there. He might overtake Bret Hart in my heart. But nipping at his heels is D-Bry. Then when
Punk left,
and he became a whiny little bitch. I was like, you know what?
Z-Pack.
I'm going to take solace in D-Bry. You know what? D-Bry is going to be my guy. And then he went away. But then he got in the fucking Elimination Chamber water polo thing that healed his neck, and then he made a big ass Yeah, that thing. And he made his fucking comeback. And his comeback has been kind of lackluster.
Lately.
And I want that comeback to have him be at the levels that he was at WrestleMania 30, and he's not. And instead of elevating the tag, elevating Rowan, he's kind of got dropped down to the level of the tag and to the level of the Rowans of the world. Nothing against Rowan. He's a good hand, but that's it. Like, nobody is out there buying Rowan merch. You know? I'm not running out to Hot Topic to buy a Rowan pop, you know?
If one exists.
Yeah, if one fucking exists. So the fact that, like, okay, it's Rowan that tried to run over Roman Reigns, not D-Bry. And instead of them standing in the ring, twirling their mustache, yeah, it was me all along, Roman Reigns. No, they're like, they didn't even sell it. Yeah. They didn't sell it. And I'm like, well, if they're not selling it, I'm not selling it. And, like, we just had two red herrings. What are you doing?
Oh, the other one had like settings on it.
Oh, this one doesn't. Yeah, we just had two red herrings. First, it was Samoa Joe, and then it was Buddy Murphy, and now it's Eric Rowan. Like, I'd rather it be D-Bry. So, I mean,
I'd rather be Buddy Murphy.
I'd rather it be Samoa Joe.
So Roman could beat him again for the next
time. I don't know.
But that's why the pairing of the Samoans kind of intrigues me a bit, because it's a pretty daft idea that to get the company guy over, we're going to pair him with one of the guys that's over with the indie fans that happens to watch our show live and tends to boo half the stuff that they don't like.
Yeah.
To see if it works. If it works, that's probably the ballsiest move that they've done all year.
Maybe.
If it works.
Maybe. You could have said the same thing about when they put the strap on Jinder Mahal.
Yeah,
that's it. Was it. A ballsy move if it works. And we tried to reserve judgment, but it didn't really work. No. I was the most optimistic because, remember, I was like, oh, Jinder, he's a cool guy. He wrestled here in Houston. He lived here for a while. I met him, met his dog. I announced him. And I was like wanting to be the guy that's like, yay, Jinder. You
played No Mercy with him on N64?
Yeah, I did all that. Like, I wanted to really give him a chance. And it didn't work. Robert Medlin. What's up?
What's up, man?
Thank you for joining us. Hey, you could actually read these things. Yeah, I can. What does it say over there?
The most appealing thing about Rowan is what metal shirt he's wearing this week. Yes, exactly. Yep. And what thrift store he got it from. That's where half of my collection ended up, at the Sand Dollar down in the Heights.
Now, can I give you another problem?
Go for it. Not that I was expecting to spending 15 minutes talking about
fucking. Yeah, I know, right? Rowan. I think the timing of this kind of sucks. The very end of the go-home show of the second biggest pay-per-view of the year is when you say, oh, it was that guy. So you're telling me, I guess we could assume at SummerSlam it's going to be Eric Rowan versus Roman Reigns? That's supposed to last-minute hook me to buy the fucking pay-per-view? Hell no. That's a story that needs some building, because that's not star power right then and there.
Unfortunately, the suit and ties, the McMahons, you're buying SummerSlam because it's SummerSlam.
True.
So you can put a lot of stuff on there to see if it sticks, to test the stuff, the waters out. You know, we got Mahal. You mentioned it earlier. We got Mahal and Nakamura in Nakamura's first heavyweight title match at a SummerSlam. That failed miserably, but you never know until you try it.
True. But in this particular instance, it's like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to last minute wow me, and you give me something kind of underwhelming. Yeah. And even then, what time is it right now? It's 8:36. Like 8:30, the Wednesday after SmackDown. I haven't seen any tweets or any WWE posts. Yeah, I haven't seen anything WWE.com saying that, hey, Eric Rowan versus Roman Reigns at fucking SummerSlam.
If anyone has seen something, tell us.
Does this mean that at SummerSlam, instead of it being a payoff, a match, a blowout, it's a
continuation.
We're going to have a backstage segment where he's going to attack Rowan and be like, give me the name, you know, and like, it was D-Bry. Oh, okay, so what, that's going to set up D-Bry versus Roman on SmackDown the next week? No, bitch, you're at the pay-per-view. That's where the things are supposed to blow off. That's where everything's supposed to culminate. You're, like, it's weird, man. It's weird. Weird.
Let me lift your spirits a bit.
Thank you.
Guess who started at the PC this week? Or maybe it was last week.
Who?
King Cuerno from Lucha Underground. Yeah. I'm already bracing in typical WWE fashion that they're going to change his name to like Juan Garcia or something generic.
Yeah.
But if they keep the Hunter gimmick, if they keep the deer head, if they keep the essence of what made him so popular, maybe, that's like bringing in Pentagon Jr., taking off the mask and just calling him Juanito. Like, it does, like you have to have some kind of mystique in the presence, in the character, and he comes out no mask, no face paint. He just looks like you and me if we were to walk out in public.
He just comes out looking like Andrade.
Oh, fuck. Exactly.
That's what they did to him. He was La Sombra.
Yeah.
He had a mask. He had a character. He was the Shadow.
One of the originals of the Los Ingobernables de Mexico
way. Yeah. And he's now just another Mexican dude.
Yep.
Who lost the last name? Who lost the nickname? Those are the only things that were kind of interesting about
him. And the weird thing is, he still has the logo on the Titantron screen of the ACA, which is an awesome looking logo, but now it doesn't make any fucking. It serves no purpose.
Yeah, it serves no purpose. They will be the main rosters. What? They will be the main rosters?
Forgotten Sons.
The main rosters, Forgotten Sons. Yeah, okay.
Before we went on the air, we spent an hour
watching
the G1 climax, couple of matches. Who do you think is going to win this?
The whole shebang?
Let me run down some scores.
Okay.
Block A right now, currently leading. And this is as of 20 hours ago, these results. Okada's leading with 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
With 10 points in second place, Kota Ibushi with a 5-2 record. And then we've got three guys tied for third with 8 points, Evil, Tanahashi, and Kenta. And I think everyone else, 6 points and down, they're out. B-Block so far ahead. Called this in the prediction show, which I was listening to earlier today. Moxley's 5-2. He has 10 points. Second place is four people with 8 points that could still catch him. Hirooki Goto, your favorite, Switchblade.
Dah.
Tetsuya Naito and Tomohiro Ishii. 6 points, four guys tied, Cobb, Robinson, Taichi, and Yano. But right now, your leaders are Moxley and Okada. You think that's the finals?
I don't think Okada – well, that might be the finals. I don't think Okada's going to win it because how many times have we had the actual IWGP champ win the fucking thing? Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to do that. So I guess that kind of leaves Moxley or Kenta, maybe, or Ibushi. I don't know. I mean, those are my kind of – what I'm throwing around in my head, those guys. I don't – does it sound bad for me to say I don't want it to be Moxley?
It's
– but I think he is going to be. I just don't
want – I honestly don't want Okada to win the block. I don't want to. I'm looking at Ibushi to make a comeback to win the block, to win the A block. The B block, I said this from the beginning. If you're New Japan and you have Moxley for a limited time, wear his ass like a $2 whore. Like you get the most out of him. I would have Moxley winning the B block easily.
So you have Moxley versus who?
Moxley against Ibushi in the finals.
Huh, all right.
And I would have Moxley winning.
What about Kenta, man? You don't think – I mean, I know we just saw Kenta lose, and that was basically the tiebreaker. But you don't think Kenta can overcome, win the thing, have his rematch with Okada? Well, Okada beat him in the tournament, but then he came back and won the tournament. So now
Okada would have to lose the last two matches. Kenta would have to win the last two matches, but even then he would lose the tiebreaker to Okada. So I think Kenta's out.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, if I'm doing the math correctly here. I would like to see Ibushi versus Moxley in the finals of the tournament, and I would definitely, if you're trying to attract more American fans to go to your two-night Wrestle Kingdom, Saturday and Sunday, I would have Sunday with Moxley main eventing against Okada for the heavyweight title.
Okay.
Which, of course, Moxley would lose, not because of the booking, but because the fucker can't defend the title on the states. And if you're trying to come stateside, that's not going to work.
If he's going to be a part of AEW. Yeah.
But apparently his contract with AEW right now is only for 1 year with room for extension. So he can do the 1 year with AEW and work out the contract where he can do New Japan and AEW at the same time. But I'm not sure AEW would want that.
I'm not sure New Japan would want
that too, unless they start doing a working agreement, you know.
Which they could. I mean, Japan's done that with ROH. It's just I don't know if they're willing to do that with
Ref Pro.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my pick. I've got Moxley defeating Kota Ibushi in the finals.
We sound like such Americans. Oh, this big traditional Japanese fucking tournament is going to be won by the white guy,
dude. It's funny you say that because mostly every gaijin that goes over there, even if they're bad guys, the fans start fawning over them. Mm-hmm. The reactions that Robinson gets from the girls,
true.
Moxley's reactions so far. Dude, even I think Lance Archer had a match against Okada. I think it was against Okada where the fans were split. And they were actually cheering for Archer.
Mm.
So he's like, he's actually getting some rub out of this tournament.
A couple of upset victories.
He beat Ospreay in the opening tournament in Dallas, an opening match.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody here saw that coming. No. We all picked Ospreay to beat Archer.
Yeah,
Archer actually beat him.
We did.
So I'm curious to see if Archer could, not to like set the bar too high, but because he's even said it himself, he's idolized Bruiser Brody.
Yeah,
you know, if he can get that wild side and go in and freak out some of the audience, I mean, that's a good goal for him to reach. But right now, he's actually doing a lot better than people thought he would since he lost Davey Boy Jr. from and the Killer Elite Squad disbanded.
Your friend on the live chat there.
Which one? Hector. Oh, message retracted. What the fuck?
Oh, look at the one underneath it. Okada is winning it.
Okada is winning it. Ha. Huh. Okay.
So the actual champ wins the thing and he gets to pick.
He would get to pick.
Who would he pick? Who would he pick?
So far, the only person that's beaten him, thanks, Hector, is Sonata.
He would pick Sonata? Dude, how bullshit bogus ass would it be if he fucking picked Tanahashi?
Oh, no.
I've had such a great rivalry with him. He's my best rival. We're going to fight again.
And I just beat him in Dallas.
Beat him again.
Goddamn.
Finals are going to be Okada versus Moxley. Moxley is losing because of Suzuki.
Oh, my God, yes. Give me Moxley versus Suzuki main eventing night one of Wrestle Kingdom. Oh, shit balls, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
Fuck all of them. I just want to see more of Takagi.
Oh, well, let's lead into the next segment. Match of the Week candidacy. You saw two matches tonight from the G1 Climax.
Yeah.
You saw Okada defeat Kenta.
Yeah.
And you saw Takagi lose
to Naito.
To Naito in 28 minutes. Which match did you like more?
Takagi Naito match of the week pick.
Boom. Wow. Defend yourself to them. And then we can go get sushi when the show's over.
Oh, I know, right? Goddamn, I want sushi. The only flaw that I saw in it, there was one flaw where Takagi went for a backslide, and he stuck his arm out to get Naito's arm, and Naito just wasn't prepared. So he was kind of like, hey, bro, give me your arm. That was the only flaw in the match. Only flaw. I mean, you could argue – and I'll be kind of on the fence about it, about maybe the wrong guy won or the ending was wrong. It should have maybe went to a draw. I don't know.
I would have loved it if it went to the draw because you could have kept going.
I'm happy with the ending.
I'm glad that we listened to some of the post-match because the first thing Naito said was, I wasn't sure last year when I picked you to be a part of my group, and I know now that I made the right decision, and you can come at me as the competitive rivalry, not as hatred, whenever you want. So, hell, we might even get an Intercontinental title match between Naito and Takagi.
Yeah.
And I would see that again because that match was fucking brutal.
It was. It was brutal. Yeah. It was fun. I love the commentary, how they're putting over Takagi's fact that he's very, very strong.
High school. They knew each other since fucking high school.
That too. Yeah. But that he's very, very strong, but he's also very, very fast. He has both.
Some of those lariatos, man.
Get you a bitch that can do both. And that's what he does. That bitch does both. And I'm very impressed by him, man. I really like this guy a lot.
This match has made it a point that I need to watch the rest of him in this tournament.
Yes.
That he's like Takagi's climbed up to like Ospreay, Kenta, Moxley as matches that I need to see with this guy in it for the rest of the tournament. Maybe even go back and see some of the stuff I missed so far. Because this G1 tournament, there's a weird mix of everything.
I could see him quickly becoming one of, if not my favorite wrestler currently. Like, wow. I just like him that
much. You haven't even heard him cut a promo on the stick.
No, I haven't.
You haven't seen him in any other matches besides two, which one of them he's on our match of the year list. Do you think that match was better than Takagi Ospreay?
No.
Okay.
Takagi Ospreay was better.
Okay.
This match was good. It's my match of the week. It's not better than the
Okay.
The
just wanted to cover that.
Yeah. If Takagi won and surprised the fuck out of me, then maybe I'd be arguing.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe I'd be arguing.
Yeah. Even if it went to the draw, it would make a good case.
It would make a good case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you already made your pick.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's match of the year or anything either, but it might be my pick. But regardless, it's been a while. So here's some of my candidates.
Now, disclaimer, you watched a whole fucking lot more of this Japan stuff than I have this week.
And I've been sick for 8 days now. I didn't watch shit in those 8 days. But here's my short list of Match of the Week candidates. Number one, Keith Lee against Damian Priest, Punishment Martinez from NXT television.
I haven't watched any of NXT.
That highlights the biggest reason why I think Keith Lee will succeed. He's a big man that can do the big man game against other big guys, but you've seen his matches with shorter guys where he will sell for the shorter guy to elevate that guy to his level. Even if he winds up squashing him at the end, you look at him and he's putting over the fact that he had to earn that shit.
Yeah.
And that match with Priest was something I was not expecting, and I wanted more. And I was surprised that Priest actually beat Keith Lee.
Oh.
It was surprisingly good. I liked that match a lot. Speaking of that, next week, a match that I think might be Arnold's match of the week pick because he texted it to us in our chat. Roderick Strong against Pete Dunne.
I heard that was it.
Fuck me.
Yeah?
They've wrestled a couple of times before because last year they were the tag team and they split up and they had their little rivalry on NXT. This was definitely the best match that they've had against each other. Pete Dunne squeaked one out, and
hey,
I wouldn't have minded if it went either way. That match was – it was 25 minutes. It was fucking solid. Okay. It was a good match. Something unexpected that I saw over the weekend, one of the three last three matches, Taurus, Killer Cross, and Tejano Jr., six-man tag against Cody, Psycho Clown, and Cain Velasquez from AAA's Triple Mania. Cain Velasquez's debut in the ring, which he had been training at the Performance Center for about 3 months before he had this match. Kane comes out with the Mexican flag. He has his own Mexican mask with horns. He's like going all lucha.
Nice.
He went all out. And they told such a good fucking story in the beginning. About 7 or 8 minutes go by. Cody tags in Kane. None of the heels want shit to do with him. One gets tagged in. Tejano's ready. Turns around, tags in Taurus. Taurus looks around and he's like, the other two guys are telling Taurus, put your horns down, just go after him. And Taurus is ready to go. No, he tags in Killer Cross. Killer Cross is the guy that he's like, oh, damn, you're invulnerable.
Right.
With an Impact and all the other indies, he's been booked as like this unstoppable machine. He's ready to go after him and then he tags in Tejano. Nobody wanted to touch this guy. And then the first thing Cain Velasquez does is the fucking Hurricane Rana. Like he
Cain Velasquez?
Yes.
He's in a Hurricane Rana.
He's flipping. He's bouncing off the ropes.
Okay.
The finish of the match was him with a Kimura lock, the hover lock from a
Kushida. Yeah.
Oh, man. I was pleasantly surprised by Kane. Pleasantly surprised he didn't blow his knees out through that match because he was never that agile in UFC. He was always to the ground. He would use his hands, and once you were down, he would take – I had never seen him jump around like that.
Do you think that was more because of –
That's PC.
Well, I was going to say more because of technique and less because of ability. You think he's always had that agile ability, but his technique for MMA is a ground and pound?
I would think so because nobody saw – if a wrestling fan were to tell me he saw it coming, I would call him a liar. Nobody saw what Cain Velasquez – put up coming. I was really impressed.
I understand this is one match. I get it. But I'm gonna put you in the hot seat. Better than Brock?
Oh no.
No?
No. I wouldn't say that Brock is better. Brock is embracing a UFC character in a WWE ring.
Okay.
Cain Velasquez is embracing his Mexican heritage by trying his best to be a cover band of a luchador.
That's not what I asked.
So it's completely different.
That's not what I asked you. I said if you put Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez in a WWE or fucking AAA ring, is Cain Velasquez going to be a better wrestler?
Oh, my God. Nah. Hell no.
Cain Velasquez is not a better
Brock
wrestler.
Brock Lesnar has the NCAA pedigree. Okay. Brock Lesnar's got – yeah. Cain Velasquez, dude, he
– Who are you cheering for?
Oh, without a doubt – Arriba la raza, man. Cain Velasquez, bro. Lesnar was attracted to that like gravity from the moment he stepped into the WWE ring. Give Cain Velasquez 2 to 3 years, he could be something to look to keep your eyes out on. For now, he was impressive enough. But damn, dude, the potential's there. I'm hoping to see what else he's got.
Hector says, answer. It depends on the booking committee.
And that too, because if you're going to just let those guys – if this was Bloodsport, Velasquez will knock Lesnar out again.
Okay.
But if they're being booked, that just depends on the booking and how they want to
have it. Is it in AAA? Is it in WWE? Okay. Are you excited for Kane's career? And is this going to be a career? Is this just a one-off thing so he could dip his toes in the water and say, hey, look, I'm a real Mexican.
Brock Lesnar – Matt Riddle, Tom Lawler, Ronda Rousey.
Bobby Lashley?
To an extent, I'd give you that. Okay. Bobby Lashley and Bellator, they're proving that there is life after mixed martial arts and that they can make a go of it. Lesnar's an asterisk to the rule. Maybe Lashley's also an asterisk to the rule. They already have wrestling background through Lesnar through MCAA, Lashley through Navy.
Okay.
But they had wrestling ability before they went into pro wrestling.
Okay.
But guys from MMA coming in, it can be done. So it wouldn't shock me. Keep the momentum going. I wasn't expecting what I saw. It was 7 minutes. It was the best 7 minutes that I needed after being sick for 8 days. Toru Yano beating John Moxley in the G1 tournament by tying John Moxley's legs, taping John Moxley's leg to his Shumo Unite or Red Shoes is kid. So
okay,
the kid that John Moxley beat in his second match and he like carried him to the back and did all that stuff. That's his protege. He's carrying him around, kind of like a mini Shield.
Oh, okay.
And so he's out there ringside helping out Moxley set up tables and shit. And Yanu got the tape and started taping. He taped Moxley's legs to Shumo's legs together, and Moxley missed the 20 count, and that's how Yanu won. not to mention, in the beginning, Yano's a movie producer. He has a DVD. He's trying to give it to Moxley. Moxley doesn't want it. Yanu opens the box, and there's 5,000 yen. And Moxley still didn't want it. Like, it was so fucking fun, dude.
All right.
This whole tournament, we've been going ooh, ah, ee, because they're literally bidding the ever-loving shit out of each other. So when I saw that match was ready, I wanted to just unplug my brain and just, like a Michael Bay movie, and just take it in.
That's the comedy relief that you guys were talking about, right?
That was so much. Okay. And Hector and I predicted that.
Yeah.
It was going to be that way. And it was so much fun, man. I fucking loved it. Because we're seeing so many different sides to Moxley in the tournament. He's brawling against Ishii. He's grounding against freaking Jeff Cobb. He's having fun stuff with Yano. I'm waiting to see what he does with Naito, because I haven't seen that match yet. And there's still more for him to do in the tournament. So just seeing that, I mean, it's very refreshing to have a break from all the forums and stuff. Ospreay and Sonata.
Yeah.
I can't add anything to it. You have to watch it.
Should I have watched that instead?
There's a lot of stuff that you need to watch, but there's 19 nights worth.
I know. I was here for the preview show. The preview show lasted 19 fucking nights.
Kenta versus Tanahashi was another match where I'm gaining more respect for Tanahashi. Tanahashi and Okada, when we first started watching New Japan, when they said, oh, that's the Cena and Orton, that's the wrong comparison, because Cena and Orton, ugh. So we walked in with that mentality watching those two going, ugh. And they main evented Wrestle Kingdom, and we said, ugh. And they came and main evented Dallas, and I went going, ugh. But there are certain matches where you start to earn a little bit more respect.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Okada against fucking Marty Scurll at All In last year. And this match with Kenta and Tanahashi, I was surprised Tanahashi lasted as long as he did. Kenta beat him. And afterwards, when they were outside the ring, Kenta went to extend his hand out of respect for Tanahashi, because he's the outsider from GHC. Like, he's new to the New Japan company. And Tanahashi just brushed him off.
Yeah.
So that made the impact even stronger when we watched Kenta versus Okada tonight. And Okada survived Kenta. You saw those open-handed chops. Both of them were giving each other the back of the head. Ugh.
So,
and then Okada actually extended the hand to Kenta, and Kenta shook his hand. So,
can I flip that coin?
Go for it.
I was kind of like, ugh, with Kenta. Because, you know, Kenta didn't have the best run in NXT.
You know why?
Why?
From the moment Kenta walked in on that NXT TakeOver special and that sign in the background that said, my style kicks.
Yeah.
Kenta didn't do a lot of that in NXT. And how did he get injured? Shoulder injury. Yeah. He wasn't injured through his legs.
Yeah.
Because he knows what he's doing with his legs. When the upper body stuff, he doesn't do as much other than the GTS and a couple of clotheslines. His style's mostly kickboxing because that's what he's famous for. And I agree with you that this match with Kenta and Okada, is good as much as I liked it, I would like to see Kenta turned up to 11 using his strengths.
Yeah.
Penalty kick somebody's head into the second floor. You know, there's the sleeper stuff I didn't get. The crippler crossface I kind of didn't get. Like, do a leg submission, like something, you know, something that lends to your credibility and your history as a kickboxer.
That wasn't my opinion. My opinion is I've been kind of meh on Kenta. Kind of like where I'm afraid I'm going to wind up going with Daniel Bryan. Oh. But it's still a little bit too early to say on Daniel Bryan. But I was like, oh my God, Kenta's amazing. Kenta. Oh my God, he's in NXT. Oh my God. And then I have no fucks to give about Kenta right now.
Wow.
But I think this match is helping me reignite that spark of that love affair I used to have with this guy. You know, starting to.
If you haven't, if it's on your DVR, watch Kenta beat Ibushi in that first night in Dallas.
Okay.
That'll rekindle it a little
more. Okay.
But here's
where I'm going with this. The thing I especially liked that I knew back here, but I didn't know right here. I knew in the back of my head, but it wasn't in my conscious brain, was the obvious story that is built in there with him being in New Japan, which is this is the guy who was captain of the ship of the other team. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is a DDP showing up at WWE and, oh, fuck, now we got to deal with the guy that was the main competition. This is AJ Styles showing up at WWE. Oh, fuck, this is a guy who built the house that AJ Styles built named TNA, and now he's here. And for the most part, DDP, Booker T, Samoa Joe, Robert Roode, AJ Styles haven't really lived up to that dream match kind of hype where, oh, fuck, it's the top guy of the competition versus all of our top guys. But here, they have that potential, and I fucking loved the way Kenta worked it. Kenta, he tried to be a little bit of a heel, but he was kind of a babyface in NXT at the beginning, and then his heel run was kind of bleh. But here, with that fucking undercurrent, where he's disrespecting his opponents because he's like, yeah, I was fucking representing Noah. We were better than you. Fuck you, Okada. You know, and like disrespecting the audience, too. It was like Kevin Kelly was talking about he's back in his home country. But
Okada was wrestling in his hometown, in his home prefecture, and Kenta just soaked all that up to his advantage.
Yeah, and Kenta was just like being such a great storyteller of that in the ring. Fuck the moves. You're talking about why is he doing a fucking crossface instead of a leg submission? Blah, blah, okay, yeah, whatever, I get that. But the storytelling that he's doing right now, especially with this match, mwah.
Yeah, he's doing that a lot in this tournament.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And then go back to what we said before. My match of the week pick might actually be Takagi versus Naito so far. There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen yet. I'll make the time to see it. It might be late because apparently WWE's decided to open their eyes and realize that they're not the only game in town. You know, there's a reason. And I talked to this with Travis a couple of days ago. There's a reason why this doesn't feel like SummerSlam weekend, and I figured it out. SummerSlam weekend is not the second weekend of August. It's normally towards the end of August, but they knew specifically that G1 was going to be – they typically end their tournament in the first two weekends of August. So that's why this year the G1 finals is happening Monday. Instead of a Sunday, because Sunday's SummerSlam, Saturday's TakeOver, Friday's Ring of Honor.
Oh.
So WWE now is starting to be aware of their surroundings, of everything around them, you know? And this really doesn't feel like SummerSlam weekend to me, but it is. And unless there's anything in the chat.
Yeah. Hector asked if you were going to go over the Facebook responses.
Yes. Let me find it real quick.
Okay. He also says this. Tanahashi versus Ibushi was awesome. Kenta is basically taking the place of Shibata.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see it.
I wonder when New Japan will put Kenta through the old guard. So, yeah, have him run the gauntlet of, like, everybody. Yeah. I mean, some of that's happening in this tournament already. Yeah. Okay, here's the Facebook responses. Take it away.
Best match of the G1 Climax so far. Constantino Aquaman Martinez. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sanada, night one. There's an awesome moment in there where you know how Sabre likes to do the little package where they can't get out. Sanada did it to Sabre him. In the ropes.
Yeah.
And Sabre screaming at the ref. Ref! Ref! Can't get out of it. Connor Murphy.
He showed me that match, I believe.
Connor Murphy. There's so much great wrestling in this tournament that I really that I can't really pick just one match. But my favorite tournament so far is Takagi versus Naito from day 14, which is our match of the week pick. And of course, Hector, he's got a nice list. So many good matches. Naito versus Takagi on the top. Ibushi versus Tanahashi, which I've yet to see. Moxley versus Ishii, which I posted on our Facebook page. Arnold has seen it. I still haven't. So I'm already upset about that. Osprey versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Naito versus Moxley. Another one that I need to have put on my list. I've been watching some of these matches during my lunch break.
Yeah,
trying to squeeze in because most of these matches are going 20, 25 minutes. There's not anything quick on this menu.
Yeah.
Like, it's time consuming. You know, it's fucking hard, man. So we still got this week. It ends Monday. Wow. Monday morning, our time. Monday night, their time.
Wow.
And that's the end. The finals, night 19. Now, let's go to Toronto. SummerSlam weekend. I'm going to run down some of these matches real quick. Friday, Ring of Honor's got some sense. They're taking advantage again of WWE's territory. So they'll be doing a ROH Summer Supercard.
Summer Supercard.
Here's a trios match from CMLL that they're going to do. Kelly Klein against Tasha Steelz for the Women of Honor title, which I've been kept up with them. Rematch from G1 Supercard. No DQ. Dalton Castle against Roosh.
Cool.
G1 Supercard, Roosh beat Castle in about 15 seconds. Three drop kicks in the pin. Matt Taven defends the ROH world title against Alex Shelley.
Really?
Alex Shelley, who's been also the last couple of weeks at the Performance Center getting ready for this match. Main event, ladder war for the Ring of Honor tag team titles. The Briscoes against Guerrillas of Destiny. Ladder war. Those are brutal.
Okay. Ladder wars are always brutal.
Yeah. Go back and watch El Generico against Kevin Steen in the last. That was the peak of the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens rivalry. Once they went to NXT, I think that was watered down a lot. Duay.
Okay.
Io Shirai against Candice LeRae.
Really?
Are you aware of what's been happening on NXT?
Dude, I haven't watched
NXT. Io Shirai lost the cage match, world title, women's title match against Baszler.
I think that was the last episode of NXT.
And Io turned on Candice.
Yeah.
So now Io's coming out to like this trap EDM music. It's all black and white. She comes out dressed all in black. Oh.
Oh, yeah?
Oh yeah! I'll show you some pics after the show.
Is she trying to do what TNA was doing with the fucking evil zombie princesses and the undead brides and all that shit?
No, she's just it's like thug,
like
evil, like
So it's not mystical.
It's not possessive. It's not mystical. It's just her as a heel.
Okay,
heels dressed in black, tight. Mm. So Io Shirai against Candice LeRae, 1-on-1. What's your anticipation level?
6. I mean, it's kind of on the low side because I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
But you just kind of brought me up from maybe like a 4. Mm-hmm. Just on that description, because I kind of want to see what the hell's going on with Io.
I think this is the match that's finally got me interested in Candice LeRae. You know, I've always seen Candice LeRae as Mrs. Gargano. The whole thing with Candice teaming with Io ever since Kairi Sane left to team with Io Shirai on SmackDown. So watching them be the buddies and then watching the split, I'm actually invested in the story that Candice LeRae is in.
Okay.
So for that, it might not seem as high as what I just said, but I'm at a solid 7 for this match. And babyface can always look good in a loss. I think it would hurt Io for this heel turn if she loses right from jump from LeRae. So I've got Io Shirai winning this.
Okay.
How about you?
Sure, why not?
Street Profits against the Undisputed Era, Colin O'Reilly, Red Dragon for the NXT tag titles. Before we go into that match, sidebar. For the last
month?
Decade?
Oh,
what? We've had Cena beat Kermit the Frog, start the Muppet Show, introducing what we're going to see tonight. The last month or so, we've had the Street Profits filling in that gap backstage.
They're not starting the show, but they do it kind of in the middle.
But they do in the middle. Yeah. They bring up to speed of what's going on. Backstage stuff with Seth Rollins. I don't know what it is with Seth Rollins and black people. Then he got along with the New Day, and he had some decent chemistry with Street Profits. I mean, it's all good in the hood, you know?
I guess so.
The backstage stuff last Monday with Kurt Angle I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about Street Profits being the mouthpieces on Raw?
I think it might be a little bit of a step down for them, but they got assigned to do this task, and they're making the most out of what they've been given, which is good, because that's what you always want to see as like a booker and a promoter and this and that can only be good for them in the future. Yeah, they're going to be stuck doing backstage stuff, doing the Kermit the Frog thing like you're saying, but eventually at some point, if they show that they're good stewards with this, they'll get moved up to something else. We'll actually see them in the ring, right? That being said, the only critique that I've had of them in their backstage stuff is that sometimes, in certain instances, in between the beginning and the end of their promos, at some point, I'm like, bro, you got to dial it back just a hair.
Got you.
That's where I'm at.
And
it's not Dawkins. It's the other one. What's his name?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's on the tip of my tongue, too. He's like, I want him to be turned
Montez Ford.
I want Montez to be turned up to 11, but there's times when he's at like 15, and I'm like, dude, turn it down. Okay. I'm glad you're excited. Like, okay, calmate, güey. Yo, tranquilo.
Don't tell him that, though, because you don't want that smoke.
Like, most of the shit that he does is entertaining, and I could see him trying to channel The Rock a little bit, and it's working.
And he even did it on one of the promos.
Yeah, it's working. Funny. It's just he's doing a step too far sometimes, where it's getting into that, like, overly annoying, you know.
Here's the part that kind of turned me around. It actually happened last Monday. Seeing the Street Profits on Raw backstage doing what they do felt like a huge demotion, because when you see them cut promos, when you see them interact with the NXT cul-de-sac live in Full Sail, they stand out. They're money in the ring, and you want them to interact. But at the same time, I could see how you could be cautious. Adam Rose, No Way Jose, you know, at some point it doesn't work. So I can understand why they're back there. But what won me over, what actually made them worthy of being on Raw, was when McIntyre tried to step up to Angle and Dawkins was like, nah, motherfucker. Like, Angelo fucking Dawkins stepped up to Drew McIntyre with his dude in tow.
Yeah.
Like, that takes fucking balls.
Yeah.
Like, that, for me, that elevated both the guys. It's like, all right, now I see why they're there. I like them already, but now I have to see them every week in some shape or fashion. Because of that, because they showed their worth. They're not just there to do skits. They're actually there to prove that they're on this side of the line of good and evil.
That being said, that brings us to the actual match. I am at an 8.5.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
I'm not at a 9.
What's keeping you?
Again, maybe my lack of paying attention. And one other thing, I'm pretty confident I know who's going to win this.
And it's weird you say that because Cole made the promo in the beginning of the year. 2019 was the year that Undisputed Era would be draped in gold.
And I think they're going to be.
The fact that the Street Profits are kind of already on Raw, I think that's like War Raiders, War Machine.
Yeah.
The Viking Experience, Viking Bukkake. Like, yeah. They're just waiting to drop the titles. And I think they're going to drop.
I think that's what it is. Because for them to finally get their promotion from being the backstage mouthpieces,
they need to drop the titles.
They need to drop those titles and they need to start competing. I would like to see them start competing on Monday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lose the titles on Saturday. On Monday, they cut a promo. And then, I don't know, Revival talk shit about them losing the belt.
Yeah.
You know, and then boom, there you go.
Yeah, I agree. I've got Undisputed Era winning this. I'm at a 9.
Okay.
Tell me a bad Undisputed Era match with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
Tell me a bad Red Dragon match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are very few and far between. No. And if it's a bad match, chances are it's not completely on their fault, if any.
It wasn't their fault.
Yeah, so I've got Undisputed Era winning this. And that for me, oddly enough, that match could steal the show for me.
Okay.
For TakeOver.
It could.
Speaking of Undisputed Era, Velveteen Dream triple threat match against Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne for the North American title. What's your anticipation level for that?
Again, absolutely no context. You just tell me about those names. 9. Just name alone. History alone, knowing who these characters are, who these guys are.
I'm at a 9 too.
I'm at a 9. Yeah. No context needed for me. But what is the context? Tell me.
The context is Roderick Strong actually pinned Velveteen Dream in a non-title match. But Velveteen had an open challenge for TakeOver, and the first one to come out was Pete Dunne. And then Roderick Strong came out saying, why is he getting a shot? I pinned you already.
Mm.
And so put them all in there. Fuck it.
And thanks, so Regal.
Thanks, Regal. Yeah, just y'all figure it out.
Yeah,
and that's what we're gonna get. And I'm at a 9. And you know what? Why not make it the year of the Undisputed Era? Give it to Strong. He's been his lack of charisma has slowly but surely consistently been coming out since he's been in Undisputed Era, and I think he's won me over to the point that he's ready for his own singles title.
Okay.
I'm ready for Roderick Strong to win this title. I'm ready for Pete Dunne to either be on 205 or on SmackDown. I don't know what he's still doing on UK. He's off of the UK. We already got a new contender, his partner, Tyler Bates, fighting Walter at TakeOver Cardiff, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks for that. That's going to be another huge episode. We'll be talking NXT UK TakeOver and AEW All Out happening the same day.
God damn, really?
Yeah, TakeOver UK is at 2 in the afternoon, and All Out's Battle Royal starts at
5:15, 5:30. God damn, really? Okay.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm not going to either.
Oh, that does make me feel better. Hey, maybe you could come over and watch with me.
Yeah. Or you can come over here and watch it. Okay. I might have a watch party for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're
fucking futon in one chair. Okay.
I'll move. I might actually move the TV over there and have more space for people to sit out and chill.
Yeah, I'm just talking
Aleister Black Star.
Oh, yes.
Women's title, Shayna Baszler defense against Mia Yim. Is now the time for Baszler to drop the title, or is that too obvious of a prediction and she keeps it?
I haven't been watching NXT. I don't know how many times I need to say this. But.
You keep going.
But
it's your show.
I was already kind of, sort of, maybe not really flirting with the idea that I have a little bit of Shayna Baszler fatigue. My initial knee-jerk reaction that you just told me Shayna Baszler is defending her, I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. Like, that fatigue just got... And then you said against Thug Gail Kim, and it made me go in my head.
Push the Asians, said Gail Kim.
It made me think, did she already beat this bitch? So
yeah, she's already beaten me.
My anticipation level is 5.
my anticipation level was at a 5. No context of a television show. Shayna Baszler did defend the title against Mia Yim at the NXT house show that was here at Revention 3 or 4 weeks ago.
But it happened on NXT TV too, didn't it? Like, yeah, months ago,
did.
Right?
It did.
I think I remember seeing that.
But the house show match to me was better than what happened on NXT. So I think there's more to give this time. I'm at a solid 7 for this match.
Okay.
SummerSlam has in the last couple of years become the second show where Raw and SmackDown after SummerSlam, we get a new person or two.
Okay.
And I think it's time for Baszler to hit the main roster.
Okay.
Give it to Mia Yim. I'm curious to see where the women's division goes because, again, I haven't kept up with too much NXT. I don't know who the next heel is. I'm not sure if Bianca's worthy.
Dude, how many times have we said this when it comes to the NXT women's division?
Turn them.
They always get somebody. They build somebody within a fucking 2 weeks tops.
Mia Yim against a heel EO, give it to me.
Or fucking the Aussie chick that Arnold likes. She was all scared of Shayna. And then, like, the New Zealand chick.
DK.
Yeah, Dakota Kai.
There you go.
Why not?
I'm not giving Arnold the satisfaction. No, he didn't bother to come tonight.
Okay.
Fuck DK.
Aw.
Yeah. Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. Again, 2 out of 3 falls, which we got at TakeOver New York. But this time is different. First fall, it's a street fight. Second fall, straight up wrestling match. If it goes to a third fall, duh, it's going to a third fall. William Regal picks it. So we
picks
won't know
stipulation.
We won't know what that third fall will be until the moment the match happens, if it gets there. Anticipation level. Wow. Gargano
10.
Cole 3.
10.
And you've got a 10.
10. I know that sometimes when we talk about feud fatigue and wrestling character fatigue, that's a real thing. And I think you've kind of shown shades of that.
With Gargano.
With
yes.
Gargano
oh,
and
yeah.
this feud.
Yeah.
But for me, no. Because I think Gargano has that one special attribute in the WWE 2K fucking profile where he is impervious to storyline fatigue because he's proven that to me with his fucking feud with Ciampa where each match
got better.
They added elements from the match previous and they did different things and they learned from each other. I want to see him do that with a new fucking dance partner, and this is the third one. Okay, great. The first one was great. The second one was great. Now it's another 2 out of 3 falls. All right, I'm already at like a 9.5.
And we don't know what the third fall is.
The thing that put me at 10 was that I was gonna say 9 or 9.5, but if you tell me Regal's gonna come out there, because I fucking love Regal as a general manager. Regal's gonna come out there and tell us what the third and final fall is on the fly. That has me intrigued as fuck. 10.
Robert Medley, what are the odds Regal makes the third fall a triple threat and Ciampa comes back?
Woo! I would have such a big erection. Such a big erection.
I think you're next, Robert. We need to get you over here. I have had fatigue with Gargano for the last maybe 6 to 8 months on NXT. I think he's had it, especially when they teased him on the main roster before Ciampa got
and
hurt.
He was going to turn heel and then he did it.
Yeah.
You know why I forgive that and why I think you don't? Oh, 10. Okay, 10. Goddamn, 10's across the board. Okay, why are you at a 10, sir?
Adam Cole.
Baby.
That, yeah. And to Johnny Gargano's benefit, these matches have not been bad.
Okay.
So it peaks and then it gets to the middle, then it peaks again, then it gets to the middle, but it never goes down.
Okay.
For me, like there were a couple of lulls in that first triple threat match that I saw live in New York. The rematch that was one on one was a lot better for me. So I'm on the upper. Coming into this third match of theirs. Mm-hmm. And I've got Cole winning this. I'm calling it right now. Toronto.
Draped in gold.
Toronto, Undisputed Era is draped in gold. Fuck it. Let them make a cameo at SummerSlam. Fuck it. 4-on-4 Survivor Series. If not, TakeOver War Games 3 in Chicago. Highlight them on your main pay-per-view in the Survivor Series.
Damn, that'd be a bold move, Cotton.
Dude, well, the fucking group's got all four fucking belts. They deserve some adulation.
Yes.
You deserve to have these guys shown on a bigger platform so that people will get that, so people can see them in the thought of marinate. It's like, yeah. Oh, man. That's the future. That's on Raw in 2 years, 3 years. Oh man, I'm gonna be chomping at the bit. You know what? I'm not gonna wait. I'm gonna start watching NXT, or okay. I'm gonna watch more NXT.
Yeah.
So if they, I'm calling it. They're all four of them. They're gonna have it.
I'll agree with you.
And it's gonna be curious. It's, dude. The best part of that scenario is Triple H being the old school guy. He's gonna draw so much inspiration from the Four Horsemen. If you wanted to get through Tully, you had to get through Ole. You had to get through Ole, you had to get through Arn. And if you got fucked with Arn, oh, you getting Ric Flair, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And so with the Undisputed Era, with those four guys and Triple H writing the book, oh, my God, I can see all that stuff coming.
Okay.
And then making a baby face that can go through all four of them. A new guy.
Wow.
Holy fuck, man. I'm ready, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, this is it. This is going to be – this could be Triple H's masterpiece if he pulls this off.
Okay.
With Undisputed Era, all four of them having the belts. Yeah. Overall, for the pay-per-view, I'm at an 8.
I would say about an 8. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair.
SummerSlam.
Woo! SummerSlam.
There was supposed to be a lot more matches that were rumored or matches that were already booked. For example,
you were hearing a count of 15,
yeah,
right? There was supposed to be 15.
They were matches. Teasing Nakamura versus Ali rematch from Nashville,
right,
for the Intercontinental title.
But then that fizzled out.
That fizzled out. Yeah. That they did that on SmackDown. They last week on SmackDown, Sami Zayn challenged Aleister Black. Aleister's like, "Nah, motherfucker, we're doing this yesterday." They did it yesterday. That was a fun little match.
Yeah.
Aleister won, so I don't know what the fuck they're doing. So this is what I have confirmed right now.
Today. No Eric Rowan versus Roman Reigns yet.
Over or under 5 minutes for Goldberg against Ziggler?
Under.
Agreed. I'm under. What's your anticipation level for this match?
Let's see. 5 minutes. Let's take that. Divide it by five. one? Five divided by five is one, right? Is my math right?
I'm going to give it a respectable five.
A respectable
and,
five.
And you know why I say this?
Why?
The last three videos that Goldberg has been in, whether it's been promos with The Undertaker, promos with somebody else, has had over 5 million views in 48 hours. So there is, as crazy as it sounds, in 2019, there is still a demand for Bill Goldberg on WWE television.
Okay.
So okay. A 5-minute okay. squash against Ziggler. Who the fuck cares? Ziggler's lost to everyone this year after coming back from hiatus, teasing that something big was going to happen. Oh, yeah, something big did happen. You're on a fucking losing streak.
Yeah.
So I've got Goldberg winning this hands down.
I think my one comes from Goldberg's entrance music. It gets stuck in my head every time.
Even the new version that WWE, yeah. that Jim Johnston or CFOs made. Yeah. Da, 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 da. You got Goldberg winning? Da,
da, da. Yeah. Course.
How about Charlotte versus Trish Stratus? Canadian match number one.
Six.
Are you getting a spark? Are you getting a vibe? Are you getting a feeling that like is there that there's
Hearts chemistry players?
That there's chemistry between Charlotte and Trish?
No.
Me neither am I.
I don't have that yet. That might just be because Trish has never really been known to be really good on the mic, and that's all we've really seen. Like, yeah, she was in a match.
But, with the exception of that promo that she cut with Charlotte in the ring, she made some good points.
She made some good points, but it wasn't delivered very well.
It was, regardless, it was easily the best promo Trish has done. Now, that's saying maybe some of her other stuff has been bad, but this was good compared to everything else.
She's never been that good on the mic, so I'm not expecting fucking Rock Stone Cold promos going back and forth between the two, right? Yeah. When Charlotte is better on the mic than you, that's you're pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know? Charlotte has always been like, okay on the mic too. Okay, she's acceptable. She's never been great.
Yeah.
Okay. So if Charlotte's the one carrying the promos, you got a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm not really anticipating the match itself because I don't really know how much we could actually get out of Trish. And I don't really know or care about who's going to win.
So, I'm at a 5.
Yeah, okay. What did I say? Did I already say something? I didn't say anything. 5.
I'm at a 5, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing this because it's in Toronto. Trish is still ready to wrestle.
Yeah.
She's going to put over Charlotte. Charlotte's winning this.
I'm sorry. Robert says, I'm really disappointed that we didn't get a Trish versus Becky spot on Raw. Okay.
I like the interaction that Becky got her ass beat and her legs broke and Trish was looking after her.
Yeah.
Maybe they could build on that. Maybe. But depending on how Trish's match with Charlotte goes, because if Trish can still go, remember, Trish Stratus was a valet that ended up being one of the best women's wrestlers of her time in her division. So I'm not losing faith completely in Trish.
Yeah.
That being said, other than the first ever Royal Rumble and the tag match at Evolution, she hasn't really been consistent in the ring. So I bet she still might have some rust on her.
And she is kind of also like the Bill Russell of women's wrestling. She was making 100 points a game, but this is when like everybody else was like sucked because it was the early days of fucking basketball and he had, you know, just so she was like the first one to be good when everyone else was terrible. So that's why she's a legend. So, I mean, I'm not like downplaying Trish and saying that she's terrible, but if you put
Bill, she's past her prime.
If you put Bill Russell versus Michael Jordan, Jordan's going to win. You put Bill Russell versus Kobe, Kobe's going to win.
Put Bill Russell against Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's going to win. You know, so
Bill Russell against the mop.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably even make the same argument for fucking Pistol Pete Maravich. You know, like, okay.
Now he's
a fucking legend. But back when everybody fucking sucked. You know?
The Fiend, Bray Wyatt against the Demon. Oh, I'm sorry. Against Finn Balor.
Not the Demon.
Not the Demon.
Not the Demon.
Not the Demon.
2.
Wow!
2.
The Fiend's debut match. You're at a 2.
I'm at a 2.
Why?
I think maybe I ruined my own ejaculation for this.
You wanted the Fiend against Alistair.
I wanted the Fiend against Alistair.
Oh man.
And the Fiend against not the Demon makes absolutely no sense.
Oh, yes. Especially if you're not going to highlight that they've had a history. You didn't have to start from scratch. You could have just jumped back on the track.
I have no fucking idea why the Fiend is picking on Finn Balor. Again, not the Demon. If it was the Demon, it'd make a little bit more sense. It would be more forgivable than him not going against Aleister Black. But the Fiend versus just a guy, because let's face it, as of now, Finn Balor is a jag. He's just another guy. That's all fucking Finn Balor is.
Sorry,
now,
Nicole.
Yes, sorry, Bacon. I apologize. But you took away the fucking Demon. Now he brings it back whenever you really want to for no fucking reason. Doesn't make sense. And
he can't even be the Too Sweet now because the OC have it and they're heels.
Exactly.
So he has nothing other than his jump.
Nothing. He's just a dude from Ireland. And that's it. That's the only thing he gets. That's it. He doesn't even do the fucking Finn pose. He doesn't even do the smile. He is a guy who used to be a champ a couple of times. And that's it. Like, he has nothing. Well, why the fuck is the Fiend targeting him? It makes no sense. This feels like Hogan versus Harpy Wimpleman. We're finally getting the Fiend, guys. Who's he gonna fight? I don't know, some jobber on WWE superstars. He's gonna fight Carmella's dad. That's who he's fighting.
The Miz's dad.
Yeah, the Miz's dad.
Made Travis proud.
Like, it doesn't matter who the fuck he's gonna fight. He's gonna win because he's debuting. And let's just put him up against a jag. Put him up against a jobber. And that's the spot fucking Finn is in. And it's a goddamn crying shame.
0.
Zero.
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 Number one, it's kind of weird that I'm saying this, but I feel like they rushed some of this. Like, they didn't give the Fiend enough time to marinate in the ring, let alone find someone. It's just random that it's Finn. Why is it Finn? Okay. Why didn't he take his time to, like, lay some clues, like Blue's Clues, of who his first opponent is and why its first opponent is, and then have like Mr. Rogers Bray on Twitter apologizing, like he apologized to Kurt, like he apologized to Mick Foley, like he apologized to Finn. You know, it just, if though, like, there's so many aspects to this Fiend character that they're not giving enough time for every aspect to air out so that you can actually have an opinion of him.
There wasn't any clever subtext.
Exactly.
There would have been clever subtext with Alistair. Somebody needs to knock on my door. Let me in. That would have been enough to fucking make the story, to make the connections, to put A to B, to figure it out. Okay, we have this guy asking for somebody to knock on his door, this guy asking to be let in. It fucking is perfect.
It writes itself.
It writes itself. You could have done so many other things with that, and that's all. That was the hook on the chain that connected the engines to the rest of the fucking trolley. That's what it would have been. Right there. Let me in. Knock on the whatever. That's it. That's all it needed to have been. You have absolutely fucking nothing with Finn. Why?
And the fact that he's asking for time off, like he's getting written off. Like there's
it's already he's gonna
the
argue
Fiend's
with
winning. Finn. He is winning.
That's jabroni, as fucking Iron Sheik would say. Jabroni. Finn Balor. That's it.
You got Fiend winning?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me move on. Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon. If Kevin Owens loses, he quits WWE. In case anybody missed the last segment.
Zero?
I still have no context as to why Kevin Owens is the anti-hero after being the heel, after being a face with the New Day. Like, everything happens so fast that at some point you're just like, And Shane, I've told you before, you need to give him the benefit of the doubt now. He's had great matches at WrestleMania. He's had great matches that weren't revolving completely around spots. Main event, his match at WrestleMania this past year notwithstanding. But I have Shane fatigue, man. I don't want to see Shane as the heavyweight champ. I don't. And if that's the route they're going and KO, it just, there's so much noise that's distorting my concentration that I can't enjoy this for whatever reason. I need more context on Kevin Owens. I want to like Kevin Owens. He's using the stunner. He's good on the mic. He's getting reactions, but how did we get there? I still haven't gotten, that 30-minute clip of, you know what? This happened. Help me.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I want to give this a respectable 6.
Okay. But?
I'll get to my butt.
Okay.
I want to give this a respectable 6 because I like Kevin Owens's face turn, because Kevin's face turn, he's keeping some of his assholery just so that he could be real with you. Keeping it 100, dropping truth bombs, because that's what he's doing. And he's done it in this feud. You and the McMahon family said you're going to listen to the people, but you ain't. And then he had other wrestlers' names in his mouth that he had no real reason to have in his mouth other than the fact that he was bringing up good examples. So, okay, was it a little bit too quick of the flip? Maybe. I'll give you that. But once it done flipped, I kind of like what I see on the other side. So I want to give it a respectable 6 just for Kev. But I'm going to drop that shit down to about a 3.
God damn.
And here's why.
Tell him.
All of that shit that I just said about Kevin Owens fucking worked last night. With him saying, you know what? I got a lot of people coming up to me saying, why are you the only one putting your career on the line? You know what? that motherfucker also needs to put his career up on the line. So you know what, motherfucker, who you don't have any balls, give me your career. I'm putting mine up, you put yours up, which is fucking brilliant. How many times in wrestling have we seen this guy has his career on the line, and then you're sitting there thinking, well, we know who's going to win because this guy obviously isn't retiring, or we know who's going to win because this guy obviously needs some time off for nagging injuries, yeah. So we already know who's going to win because of that one fucking stipulation. The only thing that'll add ambiguity to it is if the other guy also has his career on the line, and you're like, oh shit, I don't know. Yep. So it would have made perfect sense. It would have been deviating from the regular tropes that you see in wrestling for, okay, you know what, Kevin? I do have balls, and I know I'm going to beat you. So I'm going to put my career on the line too, to just show you that I am a McMahon, and I'm full of integrity, and, you know, in the interest of fairness and all that bullshit.
Like, my balls are the size of pomegranates.
Yes, that would have been great, and I would have been stuck at my six, and I would have dropped down to a three. But when Shano said, nah, now I'm like, oh, Kevin's going to win.
And you know why that was disappointing? Because for the most part, the rest of that segment that Shane gave was actually making sense.
Yeah.
But the fact that it, like, you hit a home run, but there was nobody on base. Like, you could have hit a grand slam if you would have just added the one little detail, and you fucking didn't.
Yeah.
You know, you had bases loaded, you only scored one run. Yeah. That's kind of whack.
So Kevin's winning this because Kevin's not retiring.
Of course.
And I mean, the only thing – and my caveat to that is that, oh, Kevin could lose, and then he's not on SmackDown. He goes to Raw. But – they haven't added the extra little detail in there of, oh, you're fired from SmackDown and he's a SmackDown superstar and blah, blah, blah. And the only reason why I think that is because Shane isn't in charge of just SmackDown. So that makes me think the retire is a retire from everything. So if it's a retire from everything, he's not going anywhere. Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to win. Or if he does lose, it's a bullshit storyline where I'm just like, okay, well, when's he going to, like,
he shows up every week like Steve Austin and Shane or reinstate him for another match.
Or when is Linda coming around and like, hold on, I'm the one McMahon with the brain. So, yeah. Or when's Regal show up and saying, I'm taking over. Or when does Heyman show up and says, well, I'm the new guy in charge, so here's your contract. Or Bischoff, you know, like some sort of fucking kooky shenanigans is going to happen, which has like a 20% chance of that happening. And the rest of the 80 is, yeah, Kevin's just going to win. And what happened on SmackDown? Well, we had Elias jump in and McIntyre jump in, and a lot of reverse momentum. Kevin was laid out. So guess what? Kevin's probably going to win. And guess what? We're probably going to see Elias and or Drew show up in this match for shenanigans. Kevin's still going to win. Big whoop.
Let's have some fun. Cruiserweight title match. Gabagulak defends the title against Oney Lorcan.
Really?
Lorcan won an elimination match last night on 205 to become the new numero uno contender.
I like
it. On paper alone.
Paper alone.
What's your number?
7.
9.
Okay.
Lorcan versus Alexander, main eventing 205. When Alexander walked out, that was his bon voyage.
Yeah.
Oney Lorcan's a made man for me. I'm ready. Okay. Give me all of Lorcan.
Okay.
Give me Lorcan winning the title, and then his first defense is against his partner, Danny Burch.
Woo!
Yes. Again, shit writes itself. A
friendly competition.
Mm-hmm. A friendly wager.
Yes.
I'm at a 9.
All right.
I've got Drew retaining. Hell, maybe his next defense is against Danny Burch. You know, I fuck it. Keep it going.
Okay.
Fuck it, dude. Gable on 205 has been impressive.
Okay.
Gulak versus Gable. You know, there's a lot of stuff on it.
Dude, Gable versus Burch.
Dude, if
Gable versus Lorcan.
Imagine if they pulled the trigger and they did move Brian to 205.
Oh, God. Holy Brian versus all those guys.
At the same time.
Ooh. Hockey.
I've got Gulak retaining. And I'm out of 9.
You know what? I got Burch winning. Why not? Just to be.
You mean Lorcan?
Lorcan. Sorry. Shit.
I'm looking forward to that a whole lot more than Styles Ricochet for the U.S. title. I'm at a 5 for that. I feel like that's already been done to death already. And it's only been, what, a pay-per-view and a half?
I'm going to give that a respectable 6.
Okay.
The reason for the respect is because I liked the other matches, and I'm still cautiously optimistic about where they're going with this whole OC club thing. So I really, really like Ricochet, obviously. So I'm hesitant to give it something lower.
Who you got winning?
Ricochet.
Okay, Ricochet.
Maybe because I want Ricochet to win?
Yeah.
I just want Ricochet to have everything. I don't care if he's a finger in the booty ass bitch. Like... I mean, you got to check your own oil every now and again. You know what I mean?
Just... You got 10 dipsticks.
You got 20 if you're limber.
That sounds like from experience. Somebody else's toes. Are you more interested in the Raw or the SmackDown Women's title match?
Oh.
We get in the red corner. We have Natty getting a shot again, another hometown Canadian chick against Becky Lynch. On the blue side, we have Ember Moon's first main title match against Bayley. Which one floats your boat more or higher?
The one that floats my boat is the red one.
Okay.
I think the storyline has been put together a little bit better. And I really, really like Becky. So I think that's what's kind of giving it the edge.
New guy, Falcro, is interested in both.
Oh, cool. Hey, welcome, Falcro. Thank you for joining us. You know what? I'm not going to rate either one of these really low. I think I'm going to give the edge to the red one and I give it a 7.5 anticipation level. I'm going to give the blue one about a 6. Now, these are for completely different reasons, though. All right. The red one, the storyline is better, and I like the character of Becky more. But what I have been pleasantly surprised with is the tweenerness of both Becky and Natty. Natty isn't necessarily the face, but she isn't necessarily the heel, and so's Becky.
Once we get to Toronto, Natty's definitely going to be over.
Once you get to the upside down, it's going to be different. Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of want to see.
Did you just call Canada the upside
down? Canada's the upside down.
What, because they get free health care?
Yes.
They don't get mass shootings?
No, they don't. Yeah, I guess so.
I've got Natty Becky at about a 7. Again, the storyline's been consistent, and Natty's been presented as
a threat,
the most of a threat ever in her career.
Okay, yeah, she's the most badass now that she's been ever. Well, maybe
drop the cat ears, and I think she has.
Maybe since she's been with Beth,
yeah,
when they were the
Divas of Doom,
yeah, the Divas of Doom, yeah.
Bayley and Ember, I'm at a 5 because I don't know where they're going with that. Bayley's the heel, or is she the face, or she's just being cocky, and is Ember just like being plucky? I don't know.
The storyline there is kind of bub kiss. I don't really like the story. I don't get it. Like Ember
I'm
just kind of
for that.
The Ember just kind of got a shot, and there's not too much there. Like it seems like Bayley's distracted with like other things that she's doing because Bayley was out there trying to make the save for somebody else from the other brand, so it didn't really make sense. But
Bayley versus Natty,
like, okay, cool. Which I mean, I guess I'd be okay with it if there was actual substance there. But the reason why I'm still high on it, the reason why I'm still at a 6, a respectable 6, is because on paper, I think this match could be a barn burner. Mm-hmm. Story character,
regardless,
story character. That's its downfall.
The talent will supersede everything else.
I can't wait to see what Bayley can do with Ember when the lights are on bright at SummerSlam. I think I've got both the
champs retaining. I don't think Ember's ready yet because she all of a sudden just showed up in this title picture. I haven't seen her work towards it. Or the story hasn't been presented that Ember's characters work towards it.
I would be pleasantly surprised if Ember got it.
Of course, because she's one of ours.
True. I mean, who doesn't want
to? She's homegrown from the row.
Who doesn't want to get into trouble?
Yeah.
Trouble. But yeah.
Or the goddess Athena.
Yeah.
But I've got the champs retaining.
I don't. I'll pick Ember.
Okay.
Because I think that's what the Blue Brand women's division needs. It needs a shock. Because the stuff with Bayley kind of acting like a heel but a face, but she's kind of like, I got the belt, but I don't know what to do with it. No, no, no. You need to fucking end that shit right now. Shock everybody. Give the belt to Ember. What the fuck, Ember? Okay, and now reset that division. But Becky's retaining.
Which heavyweight title match are you more looking forward to? Kofi Kingston against Randy Orton in the blue side? Or Brock Lesnar versus whatever's left of Seth Rollins on the red side?
I'm going with the blue side. I'm going to go with about a 9.
Wow.
For a Randy Orton match, I'm at a fucking 9. Can you believe it?
Can you believe I agree?
Holy shit!
Yeah, they're bringing in a lot of history, and that's what's helping. A lot of history. That's what's helping.
My erection was probably at like an 8. But once they showed the fucking NASCAR that Kofi spilled paint all over, I was like,
and the boom drop senor. In Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the repeated stupids and all that. Like, it trudged up a lot of, like, emotions for me because I was like, why the fuck did they not push Kofi at that time? And that's exactly what the storyline is about. Yeah. Kofi is like, you know what?
It's relatable because you agreed they should have done something with Kofi 10 years
ago. Yeah, and Kofi is like, you know what? This is my vengeance, and you pretty much handpicked a guy that some people will say you're biting off a little bit more than you could chew when it comes to Randy Orton. So
13 times.
That
second generation.
That chip on that shoulder that Kofi has, fuck, I'm digging that storyline. Yeah. He's like, you know what, Pete, you doubted me back then, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Bam, you know, bitch, give it to me. I'm going to prove you wrong. Oh, I love it.
For the shitty run that Seth Rollins has had with that Universal title since Rania, basically against Corbin, this could define Kofi's title reign, win or lose, if he has a great match with Randy Orton.
Which, that's a fucking mouthful, considering he beat Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania to become...
A main event.
Well, yeah, to become the champion.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's a mouthful to say that this could be the watershed fucking moment.
Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, and now Orton. That's a fucking list so far, man.
I think Falcro agrees with us. He says blue, I could care less.
He or she? Falcro.
I would assume, well. Can't really assume genders.
I can care less with Brock Lesnar, with the Brock Lesnar title. Yeah. You know what? With all the shit that Seth Rollins has been through in the last 2 weeks, I'm surprised they're still going through with this match. I'm surprised that... I would have expected Lesnar beat the shit out of Rollins, then Roman takes his place. Just for the Steve Austin syndrome, somebody tries to run Roman Reigns over before the match even happens.
And then we get Rikishi versus Brock Lesnar. I did it for the people. Yes.
Something like that. I'm at a 9 for Kingston Orton. I'm at a fucking 3.
He said I'm a dude.
Okay, awesome. I'm at a fucking 3 for Lesnar and fucking Rollins. I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
I'm at a 3.
It was a plan. It was a nice shot, but they booked his reign so badly. Rollins needs a break from the title picture.
I was at maybe about a 5 after Monday. But what kind of ruined it for me was on Tuesday, WWE.com doctors have said that, hey, Seth is clear to wrestle. Like, way to fucking give away the fucking business. Like, seriously, you should have had, like...
He slept on a bed of Z-Packs, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, right?
He's ready.
Like, oh, by the way, all this shit is fake. He's fine. He's going to wrestle anyway. No, you should have let him sell it a little bit more. I mean, goddamn, he got thrown on a gurney last week. He got 3 F5s last night.
On chairs.
Yeah, and now you're saying, he's fine. He's going to be ready to go. Like, I would have rather seen throughout the week questionable whether or not he's going to make it to fucking summer. And then on fucking Sunday or at NXT, like somebody mentions, like Mauro Ranallo mentions it over, hey, we just got word. Looks like Seth Rollins is medically cleared. Oh, God. Okay, cool. Like, let a little speculation go. Is he actually going to make it? Is he not? You could have milked that shit. But no, before SmackDown's even done, you're like, oh, hey, by the way,
Seth is
he's
ready.
All right. Like, oh, okay, great.
I've got Lesnar retaining. I have Kofi retaining.
I got Kofi retaining. Yeah, I got Lesnar retaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who else can put up with Rollins at SummerSlam? I can't. Yeah, okay.
So, overall, Summerfest this Sunday. There's a reason now that I mentioned all these Canadian matches.
Yeah.
Why we didn't get Sami Zayn versus Alistair. Sami Zayn's the heel. But you book that match in Toronto, Sami Zayn's going to get cheered out the fucking building like Bret Hart.
Oh, man. You know what, man? My tirade that I had about The Fiend, I didn't get to flip on the other side of that coin. Why in the blue fuck is Alistair feuding with Cesaro and then, okay, JK, we're done. And now he's feuding with Sammy, oh, LOL, JK, we're done. And he's still like, I need somebody to knock on my door. And nobody's knocking on his goddamn fucking door. Like, and now, like, it was given away on SmackDown. So now, I mean, I get your little reasoning, the behind the scenes. You can't have a heel Canadian go up to Canada unless you really mean it, like you're doing with fucking Natty. But you didn't want Sammy cheered in Canada, so you had it on SmackDown. Like, okay, that's a bullshit-ass reason, but still, what the fuck are you doing with Alistair? All the bitching that I made about The Fiend, I can apply all of that shit to Alistair as well. Yeah. Alistair's been looking for somebody to knock on his door. We had one motherfucker knock on his door, and we never really found out exactly who it was. We're led to believe that it was Cesaro, but you're really telling me Cesaro is mysterious and spooky enough where he's going to and then run away and then show up a week later?
I heard you were looking for a transporter.
Yeah, like, what? Really? Like, that's not Cesaro's style? That doesn't seem like him. So should we believe that that was him? Because that's not in his character. Or should we believe that that was a red herring? And Cesaro took the opportunity to get his ass beat. And that's it. Like, okay. So are you putting that much thought into it? Or are you not putting that much thought into it and you're just fucking up all that character development you have with Aleister Black? Well, most likely you're fucking up on the character development you have with Aleister Black the same way how you're fucking up on the character development you're having with The Fiend. So you know what? You ruined two motherfucking new characters.
That had the potential to take over.
That had the potential, and you're squandering them by not putting them together and putting them in stupid shit.
Save The Fiend. You have to have a brand new theme song. He picked Unsainted from Slipknot, which is the theme for TakeOver. Corey Taylor is a huge fan of Bray, and Bray's a huge fan of Corey Taylor's work and Slipknot's work. There's still time to do some kind of remix or something. If he comes out to that same old tired doom, 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 which was a cool song for the old Bray character.
Right.
This but character, they need to change something about him to win me over. Because right now,
music, though. His music is that ambient noise of like their.
But that's just him. In
I guarantee you, that's what it's gonna be.
Oh, I hope
the lights are gonna go out in pieces, and then he's gonna start walking out. The lights are gonna be flickering, and it's gonna be that ambient, you know, horror movie noise. That I guarantee you, that's what it's gonna be. I'm not saying it's good, but that's what it's gonna be.
Mark my words. Overall, the whole thing.
The whole McGillicuddy, 6-5. Okay,
I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel like SummerSlam weekend. Where's Nakamura?
What is not? Does he have the U.S. title?
Intercontinental.
He has the Intercontinental. Who has the U.S. title?
AJ.
Oh, that's right. AJ versus Ricochet. Okay. Yeah. So the Intercontinental title is not being defended?
As far as we know.
There's going to be a tweet or something going on Saturday.
Randomly.
Yeah. It's going to be Nakamura versus fucking Curt Hawkins. I don't know.
Man, let's wind down the show.
It's not going to be Rusev.
Let's wind down the show. Before I could make up my mind if I wanted to spend 3 days or 2 days in November and October to take a vacation to the state, to the capital, to Washington, D.C., AEW's first taping of what might be Wednesday Night Dynamite sold out in 3 hours.
Woo-hoo!
They just announced earlier yesterday that their second show, I don't know if I got these switched around, but I know the locations. The second show is going to be in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The third show is going to be in Boston.
Nice.
Which pretty sure those two, another two wrestling towns that are very wrestling heavy, those shows will probably sell out within the day, if not within 3 hours or even sooner than that. Which got my head scratching. Where would AEW tape their Wednesday show if they came here to Houston?
Where in Houston?
Yeah.
Prevention?
Too small.
Astro Way too Arena? Small.
That was my first pick because it's a decent size.
What's it called now? NRG Arena.
Okay. Yeah, it's got one level. You could sell out. What was it? 4,000 seats, 5,000 seats. Maybe they're aiming for something higher, but be realistic. We're not
in. They're not going into Toyota Center.
Oh hell no!
They're not going into Toyota Center.
My
dude, what if they go to fucking where the Arrows used to play? The hockey rink over like Friendswood.
It's not in Friendswood. It's 59 South.
That place.
No. It's not big. It's just like bleachers. Like
exactly. It's not big.
No. What I was thinking, well, there's other options. There's Arena Theater, but I'm not sure how if it has the seating that they would be able to brag about if they were to sell a lot of it out.
How stupid would it be if they went to Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion?
I wouldn't go. And I've traveled 2 years in a row to AW. they could do the Barry Center in Cypress.
I'm not familiar with that place.
Could do the I forget the name of the arena, but it's a small, it's a decent sized place in I-10 West, going towards San Antonio, but it's like right by the Buc-ee's. It's
like out past Sealy.
It's not past Sealy. It's like maybe less than 5 minutes from Katie Mills Mall. There's a place there. There's an arena there. But you know, I think you know the place that I would pick if I was AEW.
Oh, don't tell me World Gym Arena.
Fuck no. Cane sugar, bro, not fructose.
Okay.
The beautiful new building that Tillman Fertitta built for University of Houston, where the Cougars play. That new Hoffines Pavilion that's on the campus of U of H Central.
Oh.
It's nice. It's very nice.
How big?
Every game has sold out since they played in that new arena. I think you could fit 8,000, 9,000.
That's
taper off the end. You can probably get 7. But if you sell out 7, that's pretty decent for Houston for a specific type of wrestling like AEW. That's my pick.
Robert says, maybe the Dynamo Stadium? No, man. Outdoor?
They won't sell that out. No. Unfortunately, I would pick either a Monday Night Raw or the NXT TakeOver that's happening Royal Rumble weekend. I would have it outdoors at the Dynamo.
Bro, but AEW, that shit better be in the fall because I ain't going out there fucking in August. Fuck that shit.
Would you rather do it at the end of January?
Yes, January used to
you
be
can cover up. You can cover up.
January you used you to can't be get that naked. It's not fucking, you know, below 20 degrees.
You're right.
It's not the fucking.
It's not it's,
tundra.
It's nippy. It's 50, 60.
Yeah, it's 50.
But 50, 60 without humidity, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's dude.
I went in February.
Dude, when I went to when I went to TakeOver in LA last year, it was like 60 degrees. People were wearing jackets and sweaters at 60 degrees. I was in these shorts.
I don't know how many times you've been to BBVA. Probably a lot, right?
A fuck ton.
The one time I went to BBVA was in July.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was for Randy's birthday. She's July 27th, right?
Fuck.
It was in July. It was fucking miserable.
There's a reason why I haven't worked any Dynamo games this summer.
Yeah.
It's fucking hot.
It's
man.
Hot.
It's humid. It's horrible.
And if you're not under the one little covered area.
That shade in that second level.
Yeah. If you're on that side or that side or that side.
You're bummed.
No. Even when the sun goes down. Because you know what comes out when the sun goes down?
Flies.
Flies. Birds. Bats. All kinds of other insects. Creepy crawlies. And they're all around you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I loved my experience there. I loved watching the game. I like the shit that they
there's
have
not
the
a bad
concourse.
Seat in that joint.
There's good seats,
yeah.
But Houston weather. No.
I'd love to see TakeOver outdoors in January when they come for the Rumble.
That'd
weekend.
Be nice.
That'd be nice. But that's my pick, at least for AEW, the new Hoffines Pavilion.
Our new friend there says you're not wrong. And bro, I grew up in Houston. I ain't even
I'm not even used to this.
Like, fuck this shit, man. I'm used to it.
Like, but if I had a choice,
I'm staying. I'm watching it on the telly. I go into the AC. If I had a choice, like, brother, I'm used to it in the sense that I know how to avoid the shit. Like,
what would you pick for AEW? Are you sticking with NRG? Ring of Honor had a hard time selling out NRG during Rumble weekend.
And that was a pay-per-view, too. That was tough.
It was a special event.
Yeah. But yeah. What about what ROH did WrestleMania 25 weekend, where they got just like...
Oh, they went to George R. Brown.
The second level of George R. Brown, just one of the little sections, and that's it. I mean, you could do that. You
could. How many people will you fit in there? What was it, 3,000? 3,500? We were there together for the first night. I was with Scott for the second night. Both of them sold out, but it wasn't...
I don't know how many people were there, but...
As a guy that was at both of those nights and a guy that's been at Double or Nothing and All In...
Not enough people?
Oh, hell
But no. it's just a fucking flat area.
There's bleachers on both sides and nothing on this side. No, that's not enough.
No, it was chairs on this side, chairs on that side, bleachers on this side.
It's not enough.
It's not enough? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd say NRG or Hoffman's.
If they decide to come,
I could take a sick day and drive to Dallas or San Antonio.
Do the Rice Owls have a nice enough basketball stadium?
That's a good question. I never thought of that. I don't know.
But I doubt because Rice is Rice. So they probably turn their nose up at fucking wrestling showing up.
Yeah, U of H won't. Hell, they got the fucking XFL showing up.
Yeah.
They're open to anything as long as they can make money and concessions and shit.
Yeah.
Or if they don't even come to Houston, I could see them going to Kay Bailey Hutchinson Arena in Dallas where they had TakeOver Dallas.
Fuck Dallas.
Of course, but still, it's AEW, so I'm going to make the effort. I went there for New Japan. And Kay Bailey Hutchinson, for a Dallas crowd, I'm sure Dallas will sell it out.
Oh, and they could definitely do. They could definitely sell out the place in San Antonio, the Shriners place that the ROH always goes to.
Oh, that's still too small.
That's too small.
I would say if with enough timing, they might be able to do Freeman Coliseum, the one that's next door to AT&T Center. Again, TakeOver San Antonio's been there, and they sold that out too. So it can be done. But it just depends on the crowds.
Robert Medlin. Oh, I know Rice wouldn't let wrestling anywhere near their campus.
I don't even think they have a wrestling team. And with that, 10:06, we outie. That's it. Unless you got anything else to add.
Brendan Williams?
Oh, man.
Yep. Brendan's coming back to town. He's going to be back for Booker T's ROW Summer Champions. Don't ask me what week it is because I think it's in like 3 or 4 or maybe 5 weeks. I'm not sure.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the weekend, the Saturday after Labor Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's coming back. So that's cool. Go out there. Go see him. What's he going by now in NXT? Dio Madden?
I don't know.
I think it's Dio Madden. But whatever.
They change everybody's names there. You can't really get to know anybody anymore.
Either way, I'm going to see Brennan. So, and then Mercedes Martinez is coming for ROW's Ladies Night Out, which I think is the week before Summer of Champions.
And she's coming back from injury.
Yeah.
So this might be one of her first matches back from injury.
I want to say Eva Lise is coming too, but I could be wrong on that.
Which, by the way, speaking of AEW, they the All Out pre-show, they're having another battle royal, but this time it's women to find a contender for the first ever women's championship. It was announced today. Eva Lise will be there. Possibly, if I'm not mistaken, Jazz, but she's wearing like some kind of like samurai mask with three faces on it.
Why do you think it's Jazz?
Because it said Jazz. So the only Jazz I know is the one from WWE.
Hmm.
The only other one I saw, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's Rowdy Roddy Piper's daughter is actually going to be.
I think you said Teal Piper?
Teal Piper. She's going to be in this all-out battle royal to find a contender for
her first. When we were sitting on the couch and you first told me about it, and you said Piper. I was thinking, they changed Piper and Evan's name again?
Just for anybody that's paying attention or listening to the podcast, our next show, August 28th, I believe that's 2 weeks from now.
Sounds about right.
No, 3 weeks from now. Yeah. It's 3 weeks from now. That's going to be another spectacular show, packed show.
Yeah.
Because we will be covering NXT TakeOver Cardiff, NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff. Mm-hmm. Their main event right now is Walter defending against Tyler Bate. That happens around 2 o'clock our time. And then 4 hours later, AEW All Out will be happening at the same day. So we'll be previewing both episodes, both shows. We will be previewing them and talking about anything. We might be talking about the fallout from G1, the fallout from SummerSlam, maybe a report card on Bischoff's first couple of weeks running SmackDown if it's starting post-SummerSlam. And AEW talk, maybe they announce some more dates. I think I heard by the end of September, they will have announced all the dates for 2019.
Cool.
And maybe some for 2020.
Hopefully there'll be Texas dates.
Yeah. If Dallas, San Antonio, Austin are here, I'll take a day off and go.
Question. New Orleans. Would you go? You said to Austin, Dallas, San Antonio. What about New Orleans? New Orleans is close enough.
It's 5.5 hours. If I were to drive back that night with some Red Bulls on 2-3 hours sleep, or if I take a half day the next day and go in at 11 to cover lunches, maybe.
Would that be the furthest you go? Like, you wouldn't go to Shreveport, you wouldn't go to Oklahoma City?
Well, it depends, because like I said earlier, up until after the tickets sold out, I was actually contemplating taking a 2 or 3 day vacation and going to Washington. Because I've driven through, I've never stopped.
That's different. Taking 2 or 3 days
show. That's the first show, though.
Yeah.
Once it's already hit the tracks, I don't know if I'd go farther than
Texas.
2 or 3 days
flying somewhere is different than a road trip. Where is the furthest you would go for a road trip without taking days off?
I've never been to a Raw or SmackDown outside of Texas, so there's no way I'm doing a weekly AEW show outside of Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Austin, maybe Corpus Christi, but inside Texas. I'm not going far for a weekly show.
You're not going to El Paso. That's like nine hours. More than 10 hours.
No way. Yeah. If Double or Nothing is on the southern side of the country, I might drive.
Double or Nothing.
Yeah, next year. Because I don't know how many pay-per-views they're going to do. Right now, all they have is Double or Nothing.
All in, Double or Nothing, All Out.
No.
Fyter Fest too, right?
That's a gaming convention.
But they're going to do it every year.
Well, that's true. Fight for the Fallen was a one-time only thing for the charity event. So we'll count three. Double or Nothing, Fyter Fest, All Out. That's all they have so far.
Well, All In. You don't think they're going to do another All In?
It's the same show, All In, All Out. That's the same August show. That's their August show.
All In was in September.
August 31st is this year's.
So it's one day off. Okay.
Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend.
Gotcha.
Basically. Yeah.
So there's an interesting question in the live chat. Well, were you done?
No, go for it.
There's an interesting question here that I don't really know if I have an opinion about this, but I'm going to bounce it off of you. This is from our new friend, Falcro. He says, pobrecito. Anyway, he says, just curious, but what are your thoughts on both, it says yikes, but I think he means yukes, and 2K no longer working together to make WWE 2K20?
2K20 looks ugly. It looks very ugly. It looks mobile ugly.
Damn.
I would have scrapped the whole 2020 idea and gone like 8-bit or something old.
Damn.
Something old school. Change the entire format for a year. You know, because, dude, you want to talk about fatigue. For example, Call of Duty every fucking year, for fuck's sake. I like the Street Fighter V approach. That game's been out for over 4 years, and they're still adding fuckers. Tekken, they're still adding fuckers. Injustice 2, for a while, they've still been adding people. So, and then they'll release like the arcade version or the ultimate version to where with all the DLC, and even then they'll keep adding. So you don't have to buy one every fucking year.
I mean, Street Fighter 2 came out like 20 years ago, and they're barely on Street Fighter 5.
Yeah. But to their detriment, Capcom released like 9 different versions of Street Fighter 2.
Right.
and 3 versions of Street Fighter 3. So they need a change, dude. I've said this several times on this show, even a couple of times on Pop Culture when we talk gaming. I was pleasantly surprised with the gameplay of WWE Immortals. It's Mortal Kombat's version of WWE.
Right.
If they released a polished version of that for the Xbox or PlayStation or for the Switch, because I have a Switch and I like to take everything to go, I'd pay $60 in a heartbeat for that.
Wow. Okay.
And again, another title for NetherRealm to like go through their catalog every 3 years, redo a new one.
Maybe it was because I played it fucking day one when it came out on mobile. It seemed kind of bare bones to me, and I didn't really like it. And I dropped it within a week.
But the idea, I revisit it. But the premise, like Roman Reigns' fatality is he drops his vest because there's grenades stuck to him, and he has the pins in his hand. He's walking away, and the point, like they at NetherRealm actually made an effort to make that game interesting.
Okay.
And I played
Zombie Ronda Rousey.
I spent about $10 at least buying like points and buying like upgraded Daniel Bryan and other stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even now, because that game's 4 years old, you can add Nakamura, you can add freaking AJ Styles, you can add legends to it.
Yeah,
you could really do something with that game. So, like, if you're gonna give me Mortal Kombat, Injustice, and you're gonna add WWE to the fold on the NetherRealm library, I'm all for it. The WWE 2K train, I think, has run out of coal, and this year's version is butt ugly. Like, it's not Butterface. I can't believe it's Butterface. Like, it's bad. It's bad. It's so bad. And I don't think they did themselves any favors by putting Roman with Beth on the cover, with Becky on the cover. It's just bad. And every year, it's the biggest roster ever. Of course it fucking is. Every year, because you're adding more meat to the grinder.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Nah, I remember I was playing Supercard for a while, and I really liked it, but then I got bored.
Yeah, you were raving about that. I think I even downloaded that for a couple of weeks because you were hyping it up. Because
I was, I was playing Supercard, and then I tried to play the Bejeweled kind of game that was WWE. What was that called?
It's not Universe. It's something else. Champions.
No, Falco's talking about it right here, right now. Yeah, Champions. Yeah, I played that a little bit. I kind of got bored with it. No WWE mobile game has really stuck with me. Like, I found other mobile games to really play here and there that I'll keep as my main. But then I fucking love wrestling, so every wrestling game I'll download. But in like a week or two, I'm like, meh, I could find better versions of these style of games that aren't WWE, you know? This fucking sucks. But
well, if we want to end it on a high note because we bitched about WWE's video game library. They released something. We went into detail on this in our Comic-Con episode for Pop Culture Rewind. There is, since now WWE's with Mattel, they co-branded with another franchise.
Oh, yeah?
So it's the WWE Universe. Obviously, that's what our fan base is.
Why not?
Of course. So the new combination is with He-Man. So it's Masters of the WWE Universe. And they have WWE wrestlers like cosplaying as He-Man characters. For example, John Cena is in like He-Man garb, but here's the kicker. His weapons are translucent because you can't see them.
Oh.
It's so fucking corny. But dude, the videos on our Pop Culture Rewind page, look at it. It's interesting. The ring apron's actually like, it looks like walls from Castle Grayskull. Triple H is in like Skeletor colors. Oh, and then he's got other colors. There's like a Demon Finn that looks fucking boss, dude. Okay. And there's a Sting that has like lobster claws or something.
What?
But it fucking fits, dude. And there's more characters that they're going to release. Okay. It's not supposed to work, but it fucking works, dude. So I might actually buy a couple just so that I can have the ring.
Of course, you're going to buy a couple. The ring looks fucking
cool, dude. Grayskull apron, it looks badass, dude. It works. You know how they brought back those old school figures, but they made new wrestlers out of them, like Goldberg and HBK and Jericho?
Cool.
And so keep going, man. Bring the old stuff's new again. So if you're going to redo classic stuff, fuck it. I'm all
right. That's it. We're done.
That's it. Let's go home. I need to go home.
Yes. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Robert says, R-Truth. Orko? Arco? But I'm not too familiar with Masters of the Universe. What the hell is an Orko?
I'm not too familiar either. Okay. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, we didn't even talk about the coolest part of Raw.
What?
The Cuck actually made a man of himself. He pinned fucking Prego for the 24/7 title at the OBGYN. Oh. Just for him to lose the title.
Yeah.
That's easily the best thing WWE's got right now, and I'm so ashamed to say.
Really?
It's so stupid. It's dumb. It's stupid. Most of pro wrestling is dumb and stupid, and has been dumb and stupid. And sometimes you just need to unplug your brain and just let the pheromones go.
But this is dumber and stupider. I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite digging it.
Okay, so tell me everything on Raw you like.
Done. Adios. See you guys until 2 weeks from now.
That's your mic drop. You Bye. 3 weeks.
3 weeks. I'm a product of my environment. Don't blame me. I just work here, but I wanna fuck it.